Blog Talk Radio.
Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to actress Raquel Welch, a woman of whom you may have previously heard. Stick around. I'm sure I'll get away with using the word cleavage once or twice.
Hey, did you know that you can listen to the latest Mr. Media on your phone with the Stitcher app? Stitcher is smart radio for your smartphone. Mr. Media is on demand and on the go with Stitcher. Download Stitcher for your phone today. Get the free download at Stitcher.com. That's Stitcher.com.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview. You know, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. Stop by and check it out. There are nearly 700 archived celebrity interviews for your listening pleasure. The show is brought to you today by ThePartyAuthority.us. Planning a wedding, mitzvah, or corporate event in the New York, New Jersey, or Pennsylvania area? For any and all occasions, call The Party Authority nationwide at 1-800-DIAL-DJS. That's 1-800-342-5357, where one call does it all. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of international sex symbols with only me in common in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. You hear her giggling? You know she's here.
It's so hot in here. Would you help me with my buttons? I seem to be off thumbs this morning. I find clothes so constricting. We must allow our pores to breathe. Oh, that's better. Can you hear my pores breathe? Listen. Would you like a nibble? Why, you must be ravenous. Would you like orange juice? Oh, succulent, sunrise, hope, pineapple? But you have to be careful of the prickle.
Oh, I will.
Do you like it in bed?
Yes.
Good. So do I. Look out there. Don't we make a pretty pair?
Yes.
Coffee?
Yes.
Strong, black, and sweet. 2 mountainous spoonfuls. Hot toast or buttered buns?
Either.
Oh, I love a man who knows what he wants. Do you crave marmalade or honey?
Honey.
Oh, I do so love the smell of honey on a man's lips.
Come on now, Lily. Up you get. Pick your clothes up. You're due down at the Foreign Office.
Raquel Welch is, well, come on, she's Raquel Welch. Beautiful, funny, enigmatic, and smart, she will always be the epitome of the American sex symbol for several generations of men. The lasting image of Raquel for me will always be of her bodice-bursting work in Three Musketeers. Now, I was too young then to know her as Luana in 1 million BC, although the poster of her in a prehistoric pre-pita doeskin bikini did make a certain impression later. Today she's promoting her new book, Raquel, Beyond the Cleavage, which is short on Hollywood at times, but long on beauty and health tips, and along the way presents a virtual manifesto for the modern, mature woman. I think this story will appeal to two types of women, those of any age who want to be like Raquel, and those who think a woman as sexy and famous as Raquel Welch couldn't possibly relate to their lives, because from what I read in Beyond the Cleavage, I think she does. Now, the 14-year-old boy in me is extremely excited to welcome Raquel Welch to today's show. The 50-year-old man in me is trying to weigh her willingness at 70 to date younger men and whether it's worth leaving my wife of 22 years for a shot. I'll let you know how that stands in about 30 minutes. Raquel Welch, wow, welcome to Mr. Media.
Well, thank you, Bob. Pleasure to be here.
Glad to have you, really. I got to ask you, now the title of your book is Raquel Beyond the Cleavage.
It was supposed to be having fun with my image, you know, because I really have had a rather private life. You know, I haven't shared a lot of my backstory or any of my personal life, you know, in general with fans. And if I was going to write a book, I kind of thought I had to shake hands with everybody, more or less where they remembered me coming from. And since that seems to, that those memories from the reader probably would conjure up, you know, ideas of body shape and things and cleavage, I thought maybe I should just call it Beyond That, All That, Beyond the Cleavage. You know, there is a real person, you know, that exists behind all that iconic sex symbol garbage.
Does that mean, though, that we start talking from the cleavage, or do we skip the topic entirely?
No, we talk beyond. The word is beyond.
Beyond.
If we ever get beyond it, it's the whole thing. Yeah. I mean, it's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be funny. It's supposed to be amusing and intriguing and you know, because I wanted the book to be something that is an easy read and inviting, and I just thought that it sounded like me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's get beyond that.
Live from New York, it's Saturday Night. NBC Saturday Night. Starring Raquel Welch.
Wow, thank you. I saw last week's show, and I thought it was very funny, but I thought it was a little lacking in taste until I found out what they planned for me this evening. Whew. Honey, 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 honey.
To make you come again. We'll be right back after this message.
You know, one of the things that struck me about your book was how thoughtful and intelligent you come across, whether you're kind of offering the health and beauty tips or explaining why you declined to take part in the vagina monologues, for example.
Right.
I mean, that's the two extremes.
I had to get into that a little bit, only because I think that there's this very strange thing that's happened to feminism. I mean, now it's like, you know, people are really, when you have a dialogue or a monologue with your private parts, I don't know how productive that really is. And I don't know if it's liberating or, empowering. I kind of think not, but there's so many kind of strange ways people have of thinking lately. I mean, I thought when I came along in the 60s, it was already pretty out there, you know. We were sort of the inventors for a while of the out there, you know, experimental, trip-taking, conscious expanding existence, and I was certainly a part of that generation. That's when I came along. But I think that we sort of passed the point of no return. In other words, it could have been a nice thing if it was contained just for the best parts, but then it just kept going.
You talk about two projects that you had great discomfort with, I think, over the years. One was the vagina monologues, which you really did not want to participate in.
I was just trying to illustrate how women and get a little obsessive with all of this type of thing, and it just becomes that's what I was trying to refer to. This was not a project I participated in.
Right. Well, I found it interesting in reading that, some would look at your response to that, and I'm going to lump it in with something else. I don't know if this will surprise you, but you talk also about being offered repeatedly the lead in Irving Wallace, the fan club, and
I don't know if it was Irving Wallace either.
But it was the fan club was the movie, though. And
How
it, both, to some degree, kind of offended you, which some people would see as conservative, but
you didn't read very carefully.
No?
I was very offended.
Yeah, well, right.
Yeah. What, are they kidding me? I mean, this is, like, really bad stuff. I mean, this is really, really lowball, pretending to be scripts, you know, reasons to do just, you know, sexually prurient material.
Right, but
pretend that it's a movie. It's just, so I was quite insulted that they would even send it to me and that my agents wouldn't just say to me, you don't want to do this.
Right.
But that wasn't the case. They were going, it's going to be a great opportunity for you. You'll be such a big star and they'll pay you more money than anybody else is getting right now. And I went, yeah, but it's garbage. It's terrible.
Oh.
It's, what am I going to say to my kids? What am I going to say to my mom, my dad, you know, all my friends? I mean, I don't even want to even think about it.
Well, and the thing that struck me, though, was that those two incidents might suggest to some people that you were rather conservative. But really, I don't get that sense from the rest of the book. You just seem like more a product of your generation or just a woman who has values and has stuck with them for a remarkably long period of time.
I think for some people, you know, I would come off a little bit conservatively because I still believe that a woman is in charge of her own, let's say, self-esteem in the way that she carries herself and what she feels, you know, she's going to do and she's not going to do in the area of, well, you know, male-female relationships. And drugs and what kind of, if people are going to have, if women are going to have children, are they going to have them in or out of wedlock? I mean, I think that I'm old-fashioned and conservative in those ways because I just never did buy that, let's have a great, wonderful life. Being a woman can be a fabulous thing. But I just don't get the practicality of some of these other ideas as though you can just throw the baby out with the bathwater. I mean, we want it to be liberated because why? We want it to be able to go out and pursue careers and professions, and we want it also to be able to have a, you know, a husband, family, children. We wanted to try to see if we could have all of those things and not betray our womanhood. But in the process, we got really kind of ruthless, and we got to the point where we just threw out all the guidelines as though they had no meaning whatsoever. And of course, now I think people can see that they really do have meaning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of the things I mentioned very early in the book, Bob, is that I had two children with my high school sweetheart, Jim Welch, at a very young age. I mean, we got married when I was 19, and, you know, then had two children, one kind of right after the other there. And I was hoping, in a very foolish romantic sense, that we would, you know, go forth and, you know, and into the world together and have this strong relationship as husband and wife. But that was not to be, if he didn't really want me to be an actress per se and race around the planet and do all of that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't work. But the point I've probably lost my point by this time. But I think that what I'm trying to say is when you have children, you have a huge responsibility to them.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't, you know, I don't know that you can just say, oh, yeah, well, it doesn't matter, you know, who the husband is. I can't really remember who that was. I mean, we could get some blood tests and things, and we could figure it out, you know, where the paternity lies. I mean, is that really the way we want to live as women?
It's your lucky day, Judge. I took a rock producer with kidney stones down to Cedars last night, and guess what he gave me?
Here, well, take a look.
Look. Huh?
I've seen kidney stones before.
Hey, two tickets to the Cat Stevens concert tonight. Now, come on, what do you say, Judge?
Please stop calling me that, Murdoch.
Oh, sorry, honey. I try. I really try hard. But every time I see those headlights of yours,
Or honey, either. My name is Jennifer, and headlights are found on automobiles.
Oh. Okay, Jennifer. Now will you come?
No.
Morning, Judge.
Good morning, Mother. Mr. Fishbein? Mr. Steck on too, sir.
You know, if I was 20 years younger,
I'd only be three.
I have to tell you, I was so impressed to read and surprised, because I just had no idea, to read that, yeah, you came to Hollywood with two kids already and made this career.
Right.
It was amazing.
Yeah, well, that was one of the things I wanted people just to know about me, because I think they thought that I was just kind of an empty-headed girl with, you know, a nice rack, and that was just, I just, you know... Yeah, parlayed that into everything. That really wasn't my idea at all, but it turned out to be the Hollywood idea of me. And, you know, sometimes in the world of movies and commerce and being in the public eye, you really can't always choose the path that you want, necessarily.
Hmm.
So, but I'm not complaining about it. I just you know, we've sort of opened up so many topics in different areas, but it was a struggle, and it taught me a lot. And I remember when I broke up with Jim, which was a very, very difficult, hard thing to do, and took off on my own with my kids. A lot of people said, "Oh, you're never going to go anywhere with that. Now it's all over because of the kids." And I thought, "Oh, I don't know if that's true, but I think I have to challenge that and see." And I found that having the children grounded me and made me come out of just decisions I might have made just for my selfish needs on my own. You know, if I was just thinking, well, what would be fun? But I wasn't allowed that kind of thing, because I was really thinking, well, what would be right? Because I don't want to expose my kids to certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be irresponsible. I mean, I have more than myself to think about. And if I really do want to have a career, don't I want to use my time effectively? Because you just can't hang out, you know, having, you know, doing parties and you know, kind of meeting a lot of cute people and getting into mischief. I don't know if I'm making myself clear, but
I think you are.
I'm just thinking, you know, if you're really serious about what it is you're going to do, and if you really do feel you're responsible to your children or your family, your husband, some actresses have husbands, and, you know, do you just act like you're an independent source and you don't have any relationship to others? I don't think that that's too cool. So my children really gave me all of that grounding, because there they were, a constant reminder mm-hmm. of the fact I was a mommy. You know, I was an independent woman. I had to make certain money. I had to, you know, keep myself in a certain associations with people that were above reproach, so that I wouldn't get into any difficulties, because if something bad happened to me, what would happen to them?
Mm.
So I think all of those things are part of it. And so it taught me, let me say, it wised me up, and it made me kind of more practical and more focused than I could see some of the other young girls were at the time, because they were just sort of looking to have a good time, a lot of them.
Mm.
You know, because Hollywood is very intoxicating, and you're thinking, oh, yeah, you know, oh, this is so pretty, and it's so fabulous, and so many beautiful, exciting people all over the place, and so, you know, so many opportunities, and it's sort of a little intoxicating in the wrong way sometimes.
Now listen here, boy. I used to be a square. But now I found out I was really nowhere. I used to dig frogs and Shakespeare too. No more, baby. 'Cause I dig you with the major groove. And you like what you see. At least 36. Not more than 23. 36, baby. And it's all me.
Fascinated by your discussion of the many ways, and I'm tying this back to what you just said, the many ways that movie producers tried unsuccessfully over the years to get you out of your clothes. And I mean, you set it up, it's a very formulaic thing, because I'm sure you've realized over the years that they pull the same nonsense on everyone.
Everybody. Everybody. I wasn't just exclusive to me.
Right.
But what I really loved about the whole scenario is that the serious actresses were perfect. We're fine with it.
You know? Yeah.
I mean, people would say, "Well, Vanessa Redgrave did this for Isadora Duncan." I went, "Yeah, but it's Vanessa Redgrave, you know."
Mm-hmm.
And so people are not going to say anything about it. But if I do it, that's going to be the whole focus. Oh, you know, Raquel Welch is like naked and letting it all hang out during this movie. You know, So it was, there was not a way to really equate me and what I did with what Vanessa Redgrave was going to do or did. You know what I mean? It just pushed me in a different, the whole thing took on a different connotation.
Well, and the story you told of James Ivory from Merchant Ivory when you did The Wild Party, Merchant Ivory, of course, they have this very highfalutin art film, art, you know.
And they deserve it because they're very, very talented and very wonderful people.
However, right?
Ishmael Merchant is no longer with us, unfortunately.
Right. But Ivory, just like every other producer, tried to finagle to get you out of your clothes.
Well, yeah, he did, but I wasn't really upset with him because I knew why he was doing it. They wanted a little piece of footage in the trailer that could pull people in.
Sure.
And that's what they do, you know. They just want you to be the reason. They want you to provide the exploitative, element that will make people rush in and see it. And if it's that compromising, I don't think there was nothing in the scene that really required it.
Mm-hmm.
That was the thing, and I just, I felt badly because I really did like James Ivory, and I still like him. He's a brilliant director. He's wonderful,
mm-hmm.
and I felt very privileged to work with him. But of course, then it became very disappointing that he would be the one to say, "Well, you have to take off your clothes. You can't do this thing." And I said, "Well." You know, it doesn't say that in the script, and he's, and all this stuff.
Yep, yep.
I know I'm not explaining it very well over the telephone, but it's better in the book.
Yeah, no,
it explains the whole thing in the book, and I wasn't trying to make him into a bad guy. I was just trying to show that people will try,
right?
You know, for their own commercial reasons to get you to do something, and then they can say, oh, there's a nude scene of Raquel Welch, you see.
Well, sure, and let's face it, I mean, I remember when Halle Berry, a film that turned out not to be a very good film, she accepted something like, $750,000, $1 million to remove her top for a scene, and it was a big sensation, and then it passed, and then she did it three or four more times later for, no money.
Let me just be clear that I'm not indicting Halle Berry.
Oh, no, I was
not. It might have been very right for her in her own choice. So that's, of course, another subject entirely. And I love Halle Berry.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's a wonderful actress, as well as being one of the most beautiful girls ever around. But, I mean, sometimes people make a different choice. I didn't want my kids to have to put up with this kind of thing.
Well, and that's what I wanted to ask you. For all the years that you didn't do that, and you were never, that I know of, you never filmed without your clothes.
No, and lots of times I tried to, give a feeling that maybe I was nude, by bare back or,
mm-hmm.
Trying to orchestrate the thing so it would look exciting, romantic, and sexy, but just not going too far with it.
Right.
But that was the era in which everybody was just ripping it off and you had to simulate, very graphic sexual acts on camera. And it was just a lot of pressure on women in general, and I think it's not such a great idea, really.
And how did you react when your daughter came to you and said, I'm going to pose in Playboy? After all those years you spent protecting your kids and living up to your own values, not posing, here's your daughter. I mean...
Well, I don't cover that in the book.
No.
Because I don't feel like it's good for me to talk about my kids in those specific situations,
right?
And share those kind of intimacies and private conversations and interchanges between us. But I think, I was surprised that this didn't bother her. But I think I think she would be a kind of a person, and this is just a total guess because this is not a topic that we discuss a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think she'd be the kind of a person who, for a pictorial, she wouldn't think too much about it, especially if she was being paid handsomely and so forth, or it was going to be in a nicely printed artistic way. But I doubt that she would want to do that as an actress,
mm-hmm.
because then she would feel that she was betraying her value as an artist, and that it was getting to be all about, you know, taking it off. Now, I have not seen the newest movie with Jake Gyllenhaal and Anne Hathaway, both of who I like a lot, and I'm actually quite interested to see it because it looked great fun to me, and I'm hoping it was done tastefully. But, you know, I think everybody has to make these choices for themselves.
Of course.
Was not trying to use my actions as a watermark of moral superiority or anything. You know, I was just trying to show them that show readers that once you are pigeonholed as a sex symbol, this is the kind of treatment you would get on a regular basis. It was just all the time, you know, waiting for the day when they would say, and then, you know, you'll do this nude scene, or then you'll take off your shirt and run across the desert with a pump-action shotgun, or you'll do the, and all of these things, and they were like, it was almost like a comedy at one point. It was like, oh, yeah, sure, I'm going to just, you know, run naked across.
100 rifles, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like bizarre. What more can they think of? And it was like, what is it going to be? And I would try to talk sense to them.
This picture has a message. Watch out! Watch out for 100 rifles. Watch out for Jim Brown. What is your name?
I'm Landecker. Police.
Watch out for Raquel Welch.
I am your woman for as long as you want me.
Watch out for Burt Reynolds.
You saw all them engines hung up like a side of a beef? After all the trouble we went through to get them rifles?
Look, I spent 15 years in the 9th Cavalry, keeping the law and chasing bad Indians. But this one ain't my business, it ain't my fight, and it ain't my job.
We should have killed him.
Watch out for Fernando Lama.
Mr. Sheriff, by the time I'm through with you, you'll be ready to tell me everything I want to know.
Jim Brown and Raquel Welch, two of the hottest stars today, trigger the screen's most explosive action.
I'm sorry you got mixed up in this.
You ain't half as sorry as me.
They destroy an army. Sabotage a train. They capture a town. They fight with every dirty trick in the book. And they're the heroes of this picture.
You know, and in a sense, you know, I did compromise a lot. I was trying not to be like a prude with them. I'm, after all, in the movie business. So I said, well, could I wear just a shirt? You know, like the shirt that I wear in my costume. Could I, if I wanted to cool off under the water tower, couldn't I just be in my shirt instead of just there with this whole team of guys and just stark naked? I mean, that would seem odd for a revolutionary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why would she do that? That would be very provocative and make her into a different kind of person. You know, how is she a heroine then?
So, Raquel, I have to ask you this. I've always wondered this. I have to ask you this. Relative to what we were just talking about, there comes a time when we all become dust. When that day comes, can you tell me that in all these years, I mean, you've been an American sex symbol for like 50 years. There are no pictures in a vault somewhere, nothing that you had done, no pictures for your own sake? That will
no,
one day.
I was never interested in that.
Wow, good for you, bad for us. But I understand.
Yeah, I mean, it just wasn't the way I. It's just not the kind of thing that I was seeking out. Now, I will say that there's pictures that come into my offices. Almost on a daily basis, fans that write in and send photographs, you know, that they found. And lots of them are in the bikinis, and lots of them are in bikinis that are wet. And there's, you know, there's some that are more revealing than others. And, you know, you want to go, whoa, you know, lots of times I just take them out, you know, and replace them with something more better. But just generally speaking, you know, I was just trying to show about film, about what it's like on a film set.
Sure, sure.
And what the when you're an actress, because, you know, behind all of the sex symbol stuff, you're still an actress. You have to show up on the set. You have to wake up at 3, 4 in the morning. You have to, you know, make your presence known at around 7, and you go into rehearsal, and you have to start shooting all day, every day, for 6 days a week. And so that's really what it boils down to, the real job that you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when these other exploitive things kind of interfere into that, it's frustrating, exasperating. And, you know, you think, well, you know, do they have a point? I mean, I don't want to not listen to them. And then you think, no, that's not right. That's not right.
Singapore Sally lived in an alley down by Malaya Bay. The story of her life, her trouble and her strife, she happened to tell me one day. Sing, sing, sing for Sally, life gave her quite a chuckle. Sing, sing, sing for Sally, she was waiting for her long lost love. Sally was stuck on a sailor named Chuck, a stoker who worked on an oiler. His face was kind of dumb and his letter kind of glum, but she liked the way he stoked her boiler. Said he'd come back soon, in April, May, or June. Now she's been waiting 14 years. Oh, ain't it trash? Sing, sing, sing for Sally, my favorite quiet show. Sing, sing, sing for Sally, she was waiting for her long lost love.
What do you think is the major difference, if there is one, between women of your generation, as actress, sex symbol, as Sophia Loren, Brigitte Bardot, yourself, and women who are doing this today, Angelina Jolie, Megan Fox, perhaps, maybe Halle Berry? Is it class? Is it morality? Is it something else?
About what?
Just the difference generationally in terms of...
No, well, you know, I think that how you handle yourself, you either show a little bit of dignity about yourself and so forth, or you don't. And sometimes some actresses, if you want to use Halle as an example, I still think she handles herself very beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when she's in these parts where she is doing something a little more revealing, I think that she manages to carry that off pretty well. I'm not going to criticize her for that. I think each person is unto themselves. The thing that I think I didn't like so much is that when I was growing up, Marilyn Monroe didn't appear nude in the movies, okay?
Mm-hmm.
She had provocative costumes, and, you know, you certainly knew what the outline of her figure looked like, but she didn't do that, and neither did any of the famous sex symbols that I saw growing up, you know, whether it was even earlier with Rita Hayworth and that, nobody did that. You just were not, you were not required to do that or pretend to do sex scenes in the bed with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly along came the 60s, and that was considered unrealistic. We really needed realism now, and we needed to be more like the Europeans. God bless them. You know, I love Brigitte Bardot. She was being directed by her husband or her lover or whatever. But, you know, that's just not the way that we, the American film them, you know, came to me.
Mm.
And I didn't like so much the idea that all of a sudden, if you're born in a certain era, now you've got to whip it off any time that the producer, director, or some guy in the publicity department decides you've got to whip it off.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, here I am as a sex symbol. I'm talking about this when I'm wearing this little bikini thing, you know. So it's sort of like, oh, you know, get over yourself. You know what? You're already showing almost everything. What's a couple of, you know? what happens if you lose a loincloth or the whatever the, you know, the doe skin, you know, drape around? Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the big deal? So you kind of lose your ability to complain at one point, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Or not complain, but to resist and say, hey, guys, you know, you're going too far now. You know, enough is enough. I mean, it's already plenty. And I'm pushing the envelope, you know, as much as it's as I feel comfortable doing, and that's it. That's the end of the line, sweetheart. You know, I'm not doing more.
by the way, I have to tell you, it's a little off topic, but I wanted to tell you, my wife saw the cover of your book, and she said, first of all, no one can believe that you were born in 1940. That seems impossible. But my wife said, apparently 70 is the new 40. So, I mean, how do you, I mean, is it just genetics? Is it, I mean, I didn't get the impression from the book that you've had Hollywood type of work done. Is it just, is it health and fitness? What is it?
Well, you know, I don't feel like I have to, defend the fact that I look good.
No.
I do spend a lot. I do maintain my fitness level and all of those things. And I write about all of the options available to every woman in today's generation. And I think that one of the things that has happened to women is that, quite frankly, we have an extra bunch of bonus years now. That we are living to be in our 80s, 90s sometimes. My mother lived to 93. And, you know, we don't want to deteriorate, you know,
mm-hmm.
To a point where we're not really allowed to participate in the sort of the things that make up life, you know. We want to socialize. We want to dress nicely. We want to feel good about ourselves. And so the whole thing about aging has gotten to be a kind of a, well, it's gotten to be something that we all would, you know, prefer to push off a bit until, you know, we really want to throw in the towel. And I don't see anything particularly wrong with that. I do think, though, that what has happened is you got way too many people doing work that doesn't need to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it starts out, as I say in the book, at, you know, 14, 15 years old, and then you got people who are just addicts, and it's crazy. So I just was trying to show, you know, that you don't really need to go too far with anything. And the bottom line is that you need to exercise, you need to watch your diet, you need to also watch your attitude. And remember that you're not 19, you're not 20, you're not 30, you're not 40, you know, you're over 50. And so behave like a woman and a grown adult woman, and not trying to compete with people much, much younger. But you can be successful at that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that my generation were the generation of women that started doing an awful lot more. We were the physical fitness generation. And when you are active, you just look better. And there is nobody who can go into a surgeon's office or, you know, do any of those surgical procedures and look good if they're not if they're not really got a healthy body and they haven't really done the groundwork. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't fix it. You can't lipo it. You can't do it. It just doesn't work. So when you see people that look good, they put a lot of effort into what they do daily, on a daily regular routine.
Mm-hmm. Well, our time has really flown, and at the top of the show, I mentioned that you've always been open to dating younger men, and I got to ask, if I weren't married, you've had 30 minutes to get to know me here. Do you think I'd have a shot, Raquel? That's all I'm asking. Just a shot.
I don't usually judge men just on the basis of a conversation. I'm a little, you know, harder nut to crack than that, Bob.
All right, honey, I guess I'm coming home tonight. Folks, you can order Raquel Welch's new book, Raquel, Beyond the Cleavage, at great bookstores everywhere, or order it right now at a great price at MrMedia.com. And Raquel Welch, thank you so much for joining us on Mr. Media today.
I've enjoyed it. We certainly did cover a lot of different things.
We did. We absolutely did. And it's been
a broad spectrum.
It's been a real highlight for me. I really appreciate your time today.
Well, thank you, Bob. Been a pleasure.
Well, folks, for more original interviews with your favorite movie and TV stars, surf over to our main website, mrmedia.com, mrmedia.com. Subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations, and I hear that that's how Raquel listens to the show. If you've got an idea for a guest, a comment on today's show, or would like to advertise on Mr. Media Radio, email me directly at bob@mrmedia.com. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, twitter.com/Andelman, or on Facebook, just search Mr. Media Interviews. Thanks so much for joining us. Always appreciate you giving a piece of your day and sharing it with Mr. Media. Thanks for listening.
It spoils it.
All right, whatever you say, Marianne.
But I do love being with you like this.
I'm sorry, Myra.
I just can't. I wish I could, really.
Love isn't always a matter of sex, you know.
I know. And I really do love you as you are. Like it when you touch me. Up to a point. I don't know. I just can't let myself go. That's the way I am.
What, is it rusty?
No, that's finished. But someone like him. Someone gentle.
Rusty gentle. I thought he was violent.
No. Whatever gave you that idea? Because he was so gentle that I loved him. He never grabs you like the other boys. Oh, you are an angel, Myra, and I do love you. I really do. I just can't, you know?
Yes, of course, I know.
If only there was some man like you, I'd really fall, I would. But not like this. If only you were a man.